Well, it is very great to be able to see you this morning, and Marilyn is with us this morning. I thank the Lord for her, and visitors this morning, I thank you for your coming and joining us this morning. I trust that our fellowship with you will be a blessing to you. Well, we have been studying from the Gospel of Matthew. Sharon's mother is here as well. Welcome back to London. We have been studying from the Gospel of Matthew, and today we are going to study one particular passage of the Scriptures from Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 20. Last week we studied about two ways of life, and I told you that the message that Jesus was delivering was not politically correct message, but it has to be the truth of God. And one of the ways is broad and wide, and many people enter into that way. However, Jesus says that that particular way leads people to destruction. Another way is straight and narrow, and only a few people will find a way. However, this is the way to lead them to life. Right after Jesus spoke about those two ways of life, he leaves us with a serious duty to discern and beware of false teachers or false prophets. It may be an indication that we are inevitably influenced by the lessons we receive. That's why we need to be aware of the presence of false prophets and false teachers, even amongst the Christian churches. The instructions to choose a way between those two ways may come from a wrong source, such as false prophets. It strikes us hard with a very important implication that what we learn and what we know, or what we should have believed, or what we have believed, needs careful examinations. Or who has taught us is another important issue. It may be a false prophet and false teacher. Before we are going into today's text, I'm going to attempt to relate the teachings from the previous passage we studied last week to the text we are going to study today. Why did Jesus tell his disciples that they should exercise their spiritual discernment? Isn't it enough just to receive whatever the message preached to us by faith? Simply we say, I believe in Jesus. Isn't it enough? Well, it seems that in the mind of Jesus, that is not enough. Jesus says we need to be able to discern what we ought to believe and what we should follow. Well, I can think of a couple of reasons why. First, there are consequences for every decision we make. At the same time, there are consequences for every belief that we are following after. One way looks comfortable because it is very broad and wide, while the other way is very, very narrow and very straight. However, the choice between the two ways makes a huge impact on the following subsequent events. We must know that not both ways will lead us to the same destination. Each way has its own course and its own end. Inclusive religions have tried to persuade us that whichever way we choose is not important. It is because eventually every way will lead us to the same final destination where we all of us will get to. However, such an idea is an unproven and false proposition. Not all ways will lead us to the same destination. In fact, those two destinations, according to those two ways, are vastly different. Two ways look different, and they are different. One is of destruction and the other is of life. In short, we must know that there are always consequences after our choices. It tells us a few things about the reality of spiritual life. Let me just give you a few things about those lessons we should be able to learn from the reality of spiritual life. We are spiritually responsible beings. If our choices bring their relevant consequences, it simply means that we are responsible for our choices and decisions. We cannot say, the reason that I'm believing in wrong things is because that person has taught me wrong things. Of course, that person is going to be accountable for his wrong teachings. However, the person who wants to believe that wrong teaching is accountable for his choice. Consequences may not be our choice, even though we do not want to have that sort of consequence, but it is already a fixed consequence. Thus, we need to know which way we want to follow. What we have chosen is which way we want to follow. Thus, we can choose the way we like. But we must at the same time know and understand that behind every choice we are going to make, there is a consequence that we cannot control, we cannot determine. It means that though we have not planned and made those consequences, it will be inevitable that we will face them eventually. That's why it is important for us to be properly informed, not to fall into miseries. We must know that some consequences are eternal, not temporal, very unfortunately. We must be surprised that though we may make decisions and choices in this temporal world, they will make huge differences in eternity. Who can say following one way is going to lead that person to destruction eternally? What we do today has eternal values in the future, in the spiritual realm. It also means that there are both eternal and temporal things in our experiences in this life. While we live a temporal life here on this earth, we are preparing for our eternity. It makes our life really valuable, purposeful, and really meaningful. Then secondly, while I'm relating the previous passage to the today's passage, the second point we must know is that choices and decisions should not be made by outward observations alone. In other words, attractions themselves are not true and genuine evidence or proofs of their validity or truthfulness. Outer things are only temporal, and in fact, outward appearances can be really deceiving in many cases. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Romans 8 verse 18 says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." In other words, appearance may not reflect its reality and validity at the end of the day. Thus, when we make choices and decisions, we must consider their eternal impacts and consequences, not just by, you know, outside looks or appearances, attractions. It is a difference between man as a spiritual being and other creatures. We need to discern. Third, choices must be made on solid grounds and proper reasons. From here, we find an importance of two things. In order to be able to make right decision based on solid ground, right foundation, there are a couple of things we need to remember. We need, first of all, instructions. Then secondly, we need discernment based on those right information and instructions. Not all teachings are truthful, and not all teachers are good ones. Especially, we got to understand that Jesus is speaking this particular message to a group of the Jewish people, including his own disciples. He's speaking to his own 12 men concerning false prophets. And he says, beware of them. Then how much more we should be aware of the presence, of the possibility of those false teachers amongst us. It indicates that we need instructions. Learning is a part of Christian growth. If someone has assumed that that person is going to be, he is going to be spiritually mature by coming to Christian churches for a number of years, automatically that spiritual maturity will be attained to. And that is a grave mistake. That's a misunderstanding. Christian truth must be taught. Ephesians chapter 4 verses 11 and 12. Would you like to turn your scriptures to Ephesians chapter 4 verses 11 and 12? Let us read those two verses together, shall we? And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Amen. It is interesting to see that Christ has given his gifts to the churches, and all of those gifts are listed here. He gave some apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. One of the common ministries we can think about, all those five different kind of offices or gifts that Jesus has given to the churches is the teaching ministry. Apostles are teaching, and prophets are proclaiming God's word, teaching, evangelists as well, pastors and teachers too. And why they are given by the Lord Jesus to Christian churches for a gift? It is because Christ wants the church to be perfect. So for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Therefore, the service in Christ Jesus is not going to be done according to our preferences or our even common senses or by our likes or dislikes. It is supposed to be taught. We may not naturally grow in the Lord if we are left alone. Only thing that will come out from within us is only a sinful thing. Thus, the will of God must be taught. The knowledge of God may be revealed to us in two ways, as we have seen last week. One is general revelation, and the other is a special revelation. The general revelation may give us an idea that there must be a God. And so by looking at the grandeur nature of God's creation, we cannot but say somebody must have made it. So we may say God must be there. However, that general revelation may not be able to lead us to Christ Jesus for salvation. That revelation, special revelation, must be given to us in order for us to be saved by believing it. And that special revelation is God's word. God appointed his servants to teach his people in order that they may be perfected and ready to serve him. Therefore, we need to receive instructions from the scriptures. How do we know God? Some people say, I know God because I have dreamed of him. Some people may say, somebody says such and such God. Or some people may say, I have experienced certain things. But all of them are not the correct answers. It is because infinite God must disclose himself so that he must be known to us. Otherwise, finite beings with our finite mind and sinful mind, we cannot comprehend who that infinite God, the holy God, we cannot know of him. Thus, God has revealed himself to us through his special revelation. That is the Bible. How do I know God? How do I know God as the omnipotent being? Well, because the Bible says so. How do I know that God created me? It is because the Bible says so. How do I know that I have the image of God? Who told me so? Well, it is God who told me so through the scriptures. Thus, without knowing the scriptures, we do not know what we are believing in. Then we need to discern everything based on instructions we received. Therefore, if we receive wrong in instructions or misinformation, then what we believe is not right. That's why we need to receive correct information and correct instruction. Based on those correct instructions, we should be able to discern everything, especially spiritual matters. It means we need a correct teaching. Otherwise, our discernment is not accurate. We need good and truthful teachers who may give us right teachings. Let us not forget that God provides his servants for his people, as we see Ephesians 4:11 and 12. We need to consciously apply our knowledge to discern. In order to make a discernment, there has to be conscious efforts to know what is right and what is wrong. Therefore, mindless religion is not a religion. Christian faith is not a mindless faith. That's what something must concern all of us, in fact. These days, Christians seem to be mindless believers. So whoever says certain things, everybody is willing to receive and accept.
Someone says, I have received a revelation from God yesterday, last night, in my dream. Then people just go after such a teaching and believe in it. People do not know mind. They do not know how to exercise their mind. That is a very unfortunate thing. When Christians, professing believers, become mindless professing believers, then what they are going to do is to follow the experiences and emotions. So Christians are becoming emotionally motivated people. That is wrong. That is not right. Christian faith is not based on our preferences. Christian faith is not based on our feelings, our subjective views. Christian faith must be based on the revealed Word of God. That's Christian faith. Then let us go into the text we are supposed to study today. First of all, this text talks about the necessity to discern. It is a necessity for us to make a discernment. Matthew chapter 7 verse 15 says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." This verse tells us about three things concerning the necessity of our spiritual discernment. One, God commands us to beware. Two, there are false prophets. It's just purely a fact of the matter, matter of a fact. And three, they are coming in disguise. Based on these three points, I will elaborate those points a little bit more. First of all, let me begin with a command of God here. The verse begins with a command, beware. This commanding word has a few instructions that all of us must be able to learn from. Number one, we need to look at the form of the word. It is a command in the present tense and active voice in Greek language. It means that it is a command requiring our constant attention. Because in the Greek language, the present tense has a progressive implication in it. So it must be translated as something ing form. It has to be a continual action. It means that just one time obedience to this command is not sufficient. It requires our consistent and constant attention to the coming dangers, and we need to be very careful always. Secondly, the word beware means to pay attention to or to give heed to. Basically, what it means is to turn our mind to something. We must put our mind into something. In Acts chapter 8 verse 6 and Acts chapter 16 verse 14, this word is used to refer to the utmost attention given by people to the preaching. So, for example, in Acts chapter 8, it was the Samaritans who heard the message preached by Philip. And in chapter 16, Paul was preaching, and Lydia attentively listened to Paul. And in fact, this word meaning is very well described in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, which says, "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." Well, the intensity in paying attention in this verse is very high and very tense. So it is because if people do not carefully and tensely pay attention to what they are supposed to hear, what they have heard, they may lose the benefits from hearing the messages and drift away from the joy of salvation. They are required to pay attention to what they hear. And mind is the battleground in a discernment. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 5 says, "Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment." Mindless hearing may not give us any spiritual benefits. Coming to church alone does not benefit our souls until we have ears to hear. Secondly, what is the necessity of discernment? Well, secondly, in order to understand that we must discern, we need to know what it means by discerning.
The word for discern comes from a meaning to separate or to distinguish. It implies that the ability to discern is an ability to be able to see the differences between two or more things. In order to discern, there are a few things we need to consider. First of all, the knowledge of truth is a prerequisite. If we do not know the truth of God, then how can we say that this is spiritually truthful and right, and this is, spiritually speaking, wrong and false? If discernment means to make a distinction or distinctions between the two or more, it is necessary that we must know what is right, upon which we must be able to see what is wrong. And very unfortunately, a lot of wandering Christians are trying to make a discernment on their own basis. And they want to do the right things. So they are trying to use their whatever they have, make right judgment and so on. However, unless they have right knowledge of God, their discernment may mislead them too. Therefore, if a person comes into any teaching or practice without knowing anything about the subject, he is not in proper position to make any right judgment, discernment. Thus, right judgment or discernment begins with a right knowledge of God. In order to have a right knowledge of God, we need to receive the right teaching from the right people. 2 Timothy, would you like to turn your scriptures to 2 Timothy chapter 3? 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3 verses 10 to 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 10 to 15. Let me begin with verse 10, okay? It says this. This is written by Paul to Timothy. Timothy was a junior minister, and here is a senior minister, Paul. So as a senior pastor to the junior pastor, he's speaking to him something like this in verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. Isn't it interesting? He does not impose on Timothy that he must believe and trust in him simply because he's a senior minister. Simply because he has been claimed to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. But Paul spoke to Timothy, you know what I believe. That's what he's saying. You have fully known my doctrines. I hope that whenever you move to a city and you are trying to find a church, a home church, I hope that you know fully the doctrines of the preachers or pastors of those local congregations. Thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, and etc., persecutions and so on. Then verse 14, he is exhorting Timothy, something like this, but continue thou. So Timothy, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. In other words, Timothy has been taught properly since he was young. And Paul is saying that he should be able to hold on to those lessons he had received since he was young. Then verse 15, what was he taught about? Verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. It seems that a lot of Christians are knowing a lot of things about Christianity or, you know, church activities, projects, a lot of songs and the praise and worship style and the contemporary music and so on. But saddest thing that we may experience in this contemporary age is that professing Christians do not know the scriptures. Isn't it sad? From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. So, dying condition of Christian churches was not caused by outsiders or other religions, other oppressions or persecutions. We have brought such
a demise into our own existence. I have seen professing Christians who have not been taught in the Bible-believing churches so many times. And sometimes they may be very sincere, but what they are thinking about is totally contrary to the scriptures. They cannot defend what they believe according to the scriptures. So when their faith is being questioned, there is no way for them to give answers. Apologetically, they are total failures. As a result, they begin to have doubts about their faith. And at the end of the day, they think Christian faith is wrong. It simply began with the ignorance of the teachings from the scriptures. That's why in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, the scripture tells us that Christ Jesus has given his church gifts so that people can be taught. They will be able to learn from the Bible. That's why God has built his churches all over the world and sent his servants to look after his flock. At the same time, all of them serve the Lord together and make spiritual discernments together. And knowledge of God alone, the knowledge of God alone is not, however, good enough. We ought to have wisdom to apply the knowledge to various situations and issues. Or knowledge needs right interpretation too. Or rather, I may say that knowledge must come together with understanding or the spirit of comprehension. Knowledge without understanding cannot make right discernment. Knowledge without understanding may be even dangerous, in fact. I know it, but its application is all wrong. Then obviously, the knowledge itself can be a detrimental weapon, a very dangerous weapon that may destroy the true teachings of the scriptures. Right understanding is the work of the Holy Spirit. Thus, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14 says, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with the spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto them. So unless someone is born again by the Spirit of God, reading of the scriptures does not give her any benefits. While he's reading the scriptures, the person feels that it is just a foolish bunch of foolish lessons in the Bible, even though they may read it. But this holy truth does not give any benefits to their soul." What a pity. What a pity. Apart from the work of the Holy Spirit, we may not be able to fully comprehend and understand the teachings of the scriptures. I have known one particular person, literally, from Matthew to the book of Revelation, the whole New Testament in Greek, he was able to recite from memory. But he does not believe what he says. Knowledge alone is not giving us benefits. It must be believed and it must be properly understood. While we are studying the scriptures, we ought to depend on the Spirit of God, not just on our intelligence, which is only imperfect. We must depend on the Spirit of God. Thirdly, the necessity of spiritual discernment implies that there are spiritual counterfeits. That's why we need to discern. If everything is genuine, there is no reason to test whether it is genuine or not. It is a challenge to all of us who want to be spiritually minded people that there are spiritual counterfeits. So not everybody who calls Jesus Lord, Lord is a genuine child of God. It is a challenge. Not all spiritual teachings, entities, or activities are genuinely spiritual in the Lord. So we need to go back to chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, which says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Let us consider about spiritual counterfeits here. Number one, they are very dangerous. That's why the believers must beware of them. We should not lightly treat them or deal with them. The believers need to watch out for those false teachers. It means that spiritual discernment is not a light matter.
If Jesus commanded us to make a discernment, then obviously it is a serious business. Number two, in Matthew chapter 7 context, the spiritual counterfeits are called as false prophets. So in other words, they are coming in the name of the prophets. Obviously, they are calling upon the name of God too. The Greek word for false prophets is consisted of a combination of two words. And one is lying, false, or deceitful, or opposite to truthful. And the other is a prophet. He's a prophet. He's claiming to be a prophet. However, whatever he's saying is false, or opposite to the truth of God. Number three, there are a couple of reasons why false prophets are dangerous. Why? Well, because they are coming in the name of the Lord. If they are coming in the name of Satan, then we know that they are false. If they are coming in the name of other gods, then we know that they are not right ones. However, they are coming in the name of the Lord. So do not believe everybody who simply says, I believe in God, or I'm a true preacher of the scriptures, or I'm a genuine servant of God, and so on. You need to test the Spirit. That's what Apostle John says. You know, then we may say, you know, then where is Christian love? If a preacher says he's a genuine servant of God and so on, don't you think we need to love the person and so on? Well, John is called as the apostle of love. Amongst all those 12 disciples of Jesus, he was the person who talked about love so much, so dearly. But that very apostle said in 1 John chapter 4, we need to discern the spirits. Test the spirits and do not believe in every spirit. That's what he said. We need to test. They are coming in the name of the Lord. Then they are speaking in the name of the Lord. Thus they claim divine authority through their messages and activities. It means that they have all the common biblical terminologies and theological explanations to justify their messages and ministries. Whatever questions are bringing to them, they are trying to solve the matters in the name of the Lord. It is very hard to see any difference between them and the true prophets at times. Then the dangers of false prophets will not be diminished as time goes by. According to Matthew chapter 24 verse 11, We will see more of those false prophets as the day of the Lord becomes nearer. As the day of the second coming of Christ Jesus is becoming nearer and nearer, we are going to see more of those false prophets and false teachers. And by the way, the reason that we must be aware of the dangers of false prophets is that those people are within us. That's the reason. They are coming in the name of the Lord and they want to teach us. They want to influence on us. And they are trying to convince us that they are one of us. That's why they are dangerous. And the false prophets will come with disguises. It should not surprise us because the devil himself is the father of all lies. Then he must be an expert in lying, deceit. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, like this. And no marvel, in other words, don't be surprised, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So they can be very attractive. Such a person cannot possibly lie to me. He's like an angel of light. He must come from God. Can't you see that he has such an angelic traits and characteristics? Well, Satan himself is transformed in such a way. Attractions. They are very attractive to our eyes. How often we say so-and-so is an eloquent speaker. Such a person is a really good man. Well, if false teachers and false prophets are very obviously evil and wicked people whose languages are coarse and whose faces look evil and they speak for the devils and evil spirits, who will not know them as false prophets and false teachers? However, they do not come to us in such ways. They come with messages of hope, messages of comfort, messages of encouragement, as well as terrors and threats. Their speeches are soothing, and they may be even kind people. I have met, obviously, a lot of people like this, very knowledgeable, and they are truly able to talk about the things of the scriptures, soothing. If it was not a matter of truth or untruth, I could not but love them. Very affectionate people, caring person. They extend their assistance and help when I was in some difficulties. Well, they can quote even the scriptures freely and wonderfully talk about God. And they will say, well, you may have some problems with these verses, but my understanding is different from yours. You know, probably you have heard from your church this and that way, but my interpretation is different. So they are quoting the scriptures while they are giving new and brand new, innovative and creative interpretations for those verses. And they are trying to convince us. They even show their care and concern for us. Jesus described them in Matthew chapter 7:15 that they are not coming to us as wolves, but they are coming in sheep's clothing. They look very genuine and harmless. It means that their appearance looks really harmless. It means that we may get false impressions about them. Thus, do not be deceived by their appearances and performances alone. Then it also tells us that we need to know and study the scriptures more diligently in order to be able to make a right discernment. We must pay attention to that. False prophets are coming with theologies of God and His Word. They are coming in the name of God because prophets are supposed to be the people who are sent by God. So God jargons, God religion is being brought into their discussions. If they are coming in the name of Baal, if they are coming in the name of other gods, we will know immediately that they are not belong to us. However, they are coming in the name of God and divine claims and divine authorities. Their distortions and perversions of the truth of God are very, very clever, and many will be deceived. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 say this. 2 Peter, would you like to turn your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Let us read it together. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Amen. What a great challenge here. Peter said, about 2,000 years ago, Peter said, there are false prophets among the people. However, false prophets are not just among the people. But he said, false prophets are among you. False teachers are among you. We are talking about 2,000 years ago, during the time of the apostles themselves. Already false teachers were there. And verse 2 says, many shall follow their pernicious ways. If many people followed the false teachings and the lies 2,000 years ago, during the times of the teachings, times when the teachings of apostles themselves were so abundant, they were able to see the works and the miracles performed by them, by the apostles themselves. Still, a lot of people, many, majority of people, appear to follow their pernicious ways. As a result, in fact, the truth itself was spoken evil of. Then, 2,000 years later, today, what do we expect amongst us? So, false prophets Yes, it is very evident, it is true that we have false prophets and false teachers today. Where are they? In Christian churches. That's what Peter said. And that problem is going to be increased more and more as the day of the Lord is coming closer and closer. I hope that you will be fully warned by these special passages given by the Lord Himself to us. And false prophets are targeting not anyone else, but you and me, claiming to be Christians. False prophets do not have to convert to those people who are already deceived by false teachings. They want to target us. We must notice that false teachers are targeting us as their preys, because they are coming in the name of God. The believers of God are their targets. Therefore, it requires us to exercise the spiritual insight, discernment given by God based on the scriptures. That's why in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, John said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit." Believe not every spirit. I hope it means something to you. Believe not in every spirit. Believe not in every spirit. But try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. There are a lot of spiritual counterfeits. And fourthly, the necessity to discern includes to separate the false prophets from God's true servants. Jeremiah, during the time of Jeremiah, Jeremiah was a lonely prophet. The majority of those so-called self-proclaiming prophets of God were false prophets, in fact. As a result, genuine and true prophet of God, Jeremiah, suffered so much and so dearly. Chapter 5, Jeremiah 5, verses 30 and 31 says this: "A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will he do in the end thereof?" Jeremiah also says in chapter 14, verses 14 and 15, "Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name." So the fact that someone comes in the name of the Lord, that does not mean that that person is a genuine person sent by God. But then God says in verse 14, Jeremiah 14, "I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart." If we translate it into our days today, it is very possible that somewhere, somehow, exactly the same thing is being happening. And such a practice was happening amongst the chosen nation of God, Israel. Why can't you believe that there are false teachers and false prophets within even Christian churches today? Christian churches are not immune to the infection and corruption from false teachings. Acts chapter 20, verses 29 to 31. Would you like to read it? In fact, Paul was about to be arrested, and he knew that this is the last time when he was able to meet up with the elders from the church of Ephesus. And everybody was sorrowful. They knew that there was the last opportunity for them to meet up each other. And as a pastor, he had such a caring spirit for the Ephesian believers. And he was giving an exhortation to the Ephesian elders concerning the church after he was going to be taken away from them. Verses 29 to 31. Let's read it together. "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous..."
"...to draw away watch and remember, whereby the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears.
Amen. Wow. What do you learn from it? He said, for the last 3 years or so, I have been teaching you day and night with these warnings. What was the warning? False teachers are coming. If I'm going to depart from you, then eventually those false teachers are coming after you, and they are not going to spare the flock. In fact, they will harm the flock. They will destroy them and so on. Therefore, watch and remember. And if during the time of Apostle Paul's ministry, 2,000 years ago, do you think our churches are free from the dangers and problems today? No. There are false teachers and false prophets. And there are people who are being deceived by them. Because last part of verse 30 says, to draw away disciples after them. It means that keeping false prophets within us is an extremely dangerous practice. Oh, he's a good man. Oh, he's a wonderful person. You know, in fact, as far as character is concerned, don't you know that that person is better than you? You dare, how dare you say that he's a false teacher and so on? Well, there are. They are not going to leave us without making havocs in the spiritual life of the believers and their churches. So necessity to discern. So how can we discern? The means to discern. And so we need to read Matthew chapter 7 passage again. It talks about the fruits and so on. And just to remind you of the contents of the context, I will ask you to read again from Matthew chapter 7 verses 15 to 20, the passage we are studying today. Matthew 7, 15 to 20. Let's read it together. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves.
Ye shall know them by their fruits. Men gather grapes, thorns, or figs, or thistles. Even so, every tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit
is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Amen.
There are few indications that we do have means to discern between true and false prophets. What is it? Well, first of all, we need to take heed what we hear. It is because false prophets' work is to deliver false messages in the name of God to the people of God. Thus, what we hear must be carefully regulated. Here we must be reminded of the general principle that faith comes by hearing. So if you hear wrong things, you may have wrong faith. If you hear the truth of God, then obviously your faith will be a truthful faith. And Jude has just one chapter. Verses 3 and 4 says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. We need to contend for the faith. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. The false teachings and lies creep into our midst secretly in our unawares. Second, we need to watch out for the fruits of false prophets. Good tree yields good fruits, and bad tree yields bad fruits. Thus we shall know of them by their fruits, as verse 20 says. This principle looks very simple, however, its application is quite difficult. If a principle is really simple, then why is it so difficult to discern false prophets? Why are so many people still being deceived by them? Can't they see the fruits? Well, this question leads us to think about two more questions. One, what fruits are we talking about? Is there any specific kind of fruits we need to look for? So if we see this, oh, he's wrong. Can we say something like that? Two, though some people appear to be false teachers, very obviously, but why some people do not and cannot separate themselves from them? So we need to think about those questions. One, I think that we must begin with a proposition that it is possible for us to discern between false and true prophets. It is possible. Some people argue that we should not judge. We should not be critical. But instead we must love and we must care for each other. We are not the judges, but only God is the judge who can say that they are false teachers and false prophets and so on. Though we want to make a differentiation between the false and true prophets, it is not our duty, some people say. Besides, we cannot possibly know who is true and who is a false prophet. We should not be arrogant by labeling some people as false teachers and false prophets. Well, I think I do understand their concerns and why they are saying such things. It is true that it is a very bad habit to condemn people as false simply because they have some disagreements with us and so on. Having said that, I must continue to say that we must discern between the true and false prophets. Let me quote Matthew chapter 7, verse 20 again. Jesus says, "Wherefore, by their fruits, ye shall know them." Ye shall know them. Well, doesn't it say that we shall know them? Then where such knowledge comes from? And I will say that there are three sources of this knowledge. I will deal with the first two first, then third one will be my next point. First of all, we must know that regeneration or rebirth will change lots of things within us. The Spirit of God will illuminate us to know certain matters. I remember about 20 years ago, while I was studying, there was a person, just a brand new Christian, a baby Christian, about 3 months before that particular event took place, she was converted to Christian faith. And one day she brought me a book, which was recommended by one of the church leaders. And it was talking about heaven and hell and etc. And she said, "Pastor Chi, I really do not know much about the Bible, and I do not know much about Christian doctrines and truth and so on, but it was recommended by one of the church leaders, and because of that person, I have respected that person, and that person has known the scriptures well and prayed so well and so on, so I trusted in that person, but this person recommended me to read this book, and that person said it was a very good book." So I started to read about 50 pages or so. But I feel very uncomfortable. I felt very uneasy about reading it. I think something is not right, but I cannot tell you what is right and what is wrong. And I cannot remove that impression. And so I stopped reading it. And instead of returning the book to that person, I thought I should give it to you and let you read it. And if I'm wrong, please correct me so that I can learn something more about these matters. But otherwise, please know the issue in the church. So I started to read it. Oh my goodness. It was a wrong kind of book. It was not even biblical. It was not a Christian book at all. But somehow this book impressed another person who had been in the Christian church for a number of decades. But somehow, this person, brand new Christian, the Christian, a baby in Christ Jesus, she was reading it, but she felt very uneasy about the contents of it. She did not know it, but the Holy Spirit was illuminating her to be able to see something is not right, and she stopped reading the book. New life given to us in the Spirit provides us a necessary spiritual discernment oftentimes. However, the spiritual work within us needs to be further cultivated and nurtured within us through our Christian journey, obedient Christian life. So, rebirth and regeneration will give us that particular discerning spirit. Secondly, we cannot but talk about the spirit, special revelation of God. Would you like to read Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 to 14? Hebrews 5, 11 to 14. Hebrews 5, 11 to 14. Let's read it. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are full of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principle of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Amen. So how can we attain to have the spiritual discernment? We need to know how to exercise to discern both good and evil by knowing the scriptures. But unfortunately, there are not too many Christians who know the scriptures, who are able to make a discernment. And sometimes I have met some Christians, very sincere, and they are trying to make a discernment, but they have not been properly taught. As a result, they do not understand the things properly. And oftentimes their argument is something like this: Pastor Key, I understand what you are trying to say, but my interpretation is different. That is a pitfall. It is because Christian faith, Christian doctrines, Christian truth was not determined or is not to be newly found or determined in year 2010. Christian faith is historic faith. We have forefathers of faith, and they have transmitted their beliefs from their generations to our generation. We have historic faith. I did not find that God is a triune God today or 20 years ago. It has been taught. And historic faith is there. Interpretation, whoever brings his own ideas into the verses and says, this is my interpretation. Yes, that's right. It is your interpretation. But that is not the interpretation of Christian faith and Christian religion concerning those verses. What I believe must be the same as what the apostles believe, and what early Christian church must have believed, and the reformers must have believed. So we need to know the scriptures. Do you need a spiritual discernment? Study the Bible. Study the scriptures. Why we are being swayed by emotions. If someone says, I have charismatic gifts and I can give it to you, be filled with the Spirit of God and so on, then people are just flocked to those places without having spiritual discernment. God has sent His own people to deliver His own messages, not anything else. It is very sad that today worship is being defined not by the proclamation of God's word, but by the styles of music. So some churches are saying we are contemporary worship church. And there was no generation that worship was defined by anything else but the proclamation of God's word, like our generation. Let us think about the fruits. The reason that we must be more specific in fruit-finding study is because what we see can be deceiving. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Therefore, we do not rely on our feelings and personal preferences in order to make a discernment between what is right and what is wrong. You know, if we depend on our preferences and our feelings, we can make a lot of mistakes. Our feelings are deceiving as well. And so we need more specific guidelines. Two, I must begin with the importance of doctrines for discernment. You need to know what the scripture is teaching you, talking to you. The trees are two kinds, good and corrupt. Fruits are also two kinds, good and evil. There is a division and separation between good and corrupt and good and evil. True teachings, confessions of faith, and doctrines are necessary for discernment. All of them are coming from the scriptures, and they provide us with absolute measurements for every separation we must make. Because the prophet's primary duty is to proclaim the message of God, if their messages are not in agreement with the teachings of the scriptures, but their messages are in contrary to the teachings of the Bible, it is a clear sign that they belong to something else but God. Therefore, the first means to test the self-professing prophets is to test their doctrines. So, I mean, honestly speaking, when you go to a new city and you are trying to look for a home church, what sort of church are you looking for? And sometimes people say, wow, atmosphere of this church is good. Or people are very nice, you know, they are loving and caring and very hospitable people, very kind people. Or some people say, I like this church because this church has such an energetic singing, you know. I like their worship and praise and you know, that sort of activities. And so their choices are based on basically those things, unfortunately, rather than they are touched by the proclamation of God's word. Well, the first means to test the self-proclaiming, self-professing prophets is to test their doctrines. What they believe is the thing. You know, John 8:45 says this. This is what Jesus says. John 8:45, Jesus says, and because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Because he speaks them to them the truth, they do not believe in Jesus. Anyone who speaks against the truth, he is a false teacher. It doesn't matter how good person that is. He may be a good person, but we are talking about spiritual affairs, spiritual matters. He's a false prophet. It doesn't matter how wonderful character that person is. We praise the Lord for his good character. However, in the spiritual realm, he's not a true prophet. The next fruit we must consider is their character, obviously. And would you like to read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 8? I'm about to complete my message today. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 1 to 8, let's read it together. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness by denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Amen. We can find a lot of sinful characteristics of those individuals. At the same time, I hope that verse 7 is going to work as a warning to you. Those individuals ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Learning is there, but they are not coming to the knowledge of the truth. Sinful character is an indication that they are not true prophets of God. Conclusion, we are responsible to make a spiritual discernment. It is because false prophets are coming to us as ravening wolves, which are very cruel and very merciless. Then we may ask a question, why God allows such havoc in Christian churches? Why God allows such false teachers within his own divine wisdom? Did I give you Deuteronomy 13:3? Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 3. Let's read it together. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams, For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Amen. Well, there will be, this is what the Lord says, there will be false teachers rising amongst you, and they will come to you in the name of the Lord, and they are going to speak to you about God's prophecies and so on. But here God says, do not hear the words of those people. Do not hear! And then the second half of the verse says, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Well, I hope all of us remember that the consequence of not discerning false teachers and their teachings will come upon us. False teachers will be accountable for their false teachings. But those people who have failed to make a proper discernment as a result, if they are suffering in spiritual misery, they are accountable for it. This is a warning. Warning is helpful. God does not want us put into such a situation. God wants you and me to be delivered from such a situation. So let us make a discernment between what is right and what is wrong. Let us look to the Lord in prayer.